We're back on the web, and we will continue with the cross-examination. He'll be back in. Mr. Williams, prior to the break, I was just about to ask you some questions about the balance of intra-NTA traffic that you discussed earlier in your testimony. It's Alltel's proposal, I believe, in this particular proceeding to use traffic factors, correct?
Correct.
And can you point me to some authority that would require the LECs in this particular case to build their own traffic and to measure their own traffic and then to have to agree to a factor?
What I can point you to is Alltel's right to receive reciprocal compensation for intra-MTA traffic. It terminates. And because of how intra-MTA traffic is exchanged, the only way, only practical way we have to recover our compensation for that is to implement factors. The other alternative, which I would consider to be less practical, is for the LECs to change their routing to reflect intra-MTA conditions. But that's not what Alltel is proposing here.
It's fair to state that the LECs have the ability to measure their own traffic, correct?
That the LECs have the ability to measure the traffic that's delivered to them via the tandem and via direct routes.
And couldn't Alltel purchase the appropriate records to do so itself?
We could purchase tandem records, but those tandem records would not designate or denote that the petitioner was the responsible party for an intra-MTA call that was delivered to the tandem by a minor exchange carrier.
But wouldn't that provide a better basis then for the development of factors that you proposed?
In fact, that basis was included in my factor proposal and analysis.
And in fact, you did, or Alltel did, conduct an analysis of the balance of traffic, and it was done, I believe, the day before the direct testimony was filed in this particular case, correct?
As I recall, I received it just before testimony was due.
So it's fair to state that Alltel would have the ability to take those steps to measure its traffic?
On a study basis, not on the basis for the ability to bill traffic.
Mr. Williams, I believe you just mentioned that the LECs could change the routing of their traffic in order to better allow Alltel to measure its own. Can you give me an example, let's say using McCook, of how an inter-MTA call that may be sent to Alltel from a McCook customer?
You say inter-MTA call?
Correct.
I was actually suggesting that the routing could be adjusted for intra-MTA calls.
Okay, and I apologize. I thought I heard you use inter in there, so that's why I was confused. in this particular instance, if the LECs are able to measure the traffic appropriately, is Alta willing to accept the factors that are then proposed by the LEC itself based on a measurement of its traffic?
I think there's an opportunity for the LECs and Alta to pull together a traffic study that parties could agree to and be reflective of the exchange of traffic between the parties.
And it could be reflective then of the actual exchange of traffic between the parties as opposed to a negotiated number that again may not have a direct basis in reality.
Right. I mean, I think that's identification. I think a study relative to the overall exchange of traffic would be an easier process to reconcile between parties than, for example, an inter-MTA study.
With respect to the definitions, you'd agree with me that two out of the three most significant issues in this arbitration have been the treatment of inter-MTA traffic and intra-MTA traffic. Is that fair?
Well, they are without a doubt significant, yes.
And for that reason, it would certainly make sense to ensure that any definition in the agreement itself would provide for the appropriate treatment of inter- and intra-MTA traffic, would it not?
I would agree.
Does Alta have any switches in South Dakota?
We have two, one in Rapid City and one in Sioux Falls.
Does Alta have any in Nebraska?
Omaha.
What about Minnesota?
Owatonna.
What about Iowa?
Des Moines.
Are there any in Montana?
Billings.
Thank you. Can you define what an intrastate toll call, excuse me, is?
An intrastate toll call?
Yes.
Not really my area of expertise.
You were discussing it a little bit earlier, I think, with regard to your statement as to what assertion of jurisdiction the FCC has over CMRS providers. Is it your contention that this commission does not have jurisdiction over intrastate toll calls in South Dakota?
I make no opinion on this commission's jurisdiction over intrastate toll calls in South Dakota.
Does Alta deliver any intrastate toll calls to any of the petitioners? And I would not include any traffic delivered by an IMC.
No.
Nothing further. Thank you, Mr. Williams. Commissioners.
Williams, on the balance of traffic issue 3, and I'm looking at your summary of your testimony, you spoke about how, well, actually, don't look at balance of traffic 3, I'll go back to, I think what you said, and tell me if I'm misstating this, but you mentioned that for the traffic route either B or C, anytime it goes through the Quest Tandem, no, through C, when the RLAC routes it through the IXC and then it hits the Quest Tandem, that you could buy some records from the RBOC, but that it wouldn't provide accurate information, which so the IXC is the originating carrier. Is that right?
That's correct. The records I would buy would show everything that's included in B plus C there. And for the B traffic, it would show the RLEC as the carrier of record on that call. And for the C traffic, it would show the IXC in that call.
I mean, I get my monthly Alltel bill, and it tells me the number and where that person called from, or at least what their home rate center is, and all kinds of information, whether or not it was a mobile-to-mobile kind of call. I mean, given all of the presumably hundreds or thousands or dozens pieces of information that are attached to any given packet, nobody's figured out a way to get to that information? Because I haven't laid any foundation for whether or not, anybody in the world has solved that problem. But with your experience dealing with interconnections, is that a problem that just Quest has, or is that consistent to other RBOCs you work with?
It's consistent across all tandem operators that I'm familiar with, that they provide records based on who controls the inbound trunk group to their tandem. And that populates the field that the carrier access billing systems, which are the wholesale billing systems, not the retail one that you're familiar with in your Alltel bill, but the wholesale billing systems are designed to utilize the fields represented in that tandem record, which in this case identify the trunk group owner.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, on that same issue, on your retail billing system, is there, you're saying that information is on your retail billing system, the call and the calling number?
Call and calling numbers, I believe it do appear on the retail billing system.
On your AMA record.
Excuse
through
me.
Your switch.
What record? Excuse me?
AMA records. Because you can rotate your AMA records in your switch, right, and get your called and calling number.
I could, but calling number is not the basis for carrier access billing systems or wholesale billing systems.
So, you're saying that Quest as an IXC is not going to deliver that to you?
The IXCs, in most cases, do not deliver traffic directly to a wireless carrier. They deliver them through a RBOC tandem.
On a question of the poll, and you, I think Ms. Moore had used Beersford as an example, and you hit them in the Des Moines. I think that was your answer. You had them in the Des Moines MTA.
Correct.
Where would your ploy be in Des Moines? In Des Moines, Iowa?
Actually, my understanding of the point of interconnection for which Alltel traffic is delivered to Beresford, we utilize Quest Transit Services to deliver Alltel traffic to Beresford. And so the meet point between Quest and Beresford, I believe to be in the Des Moines MTA.
Okay.
It's in the vicinity of Beresford's operations, but it's below that line across town.
So the point of interconnection between Beresford and Alltel would be the Beresford CO, or wherever Quest interconnection is.
The latter, the meet point with Quest.
Okay, well, Quest meet point.
Right.
Okay. Do you know where that would be?
That, I believe, is...
In their CO, or would it be in Sioux Falls?
I believe it to be at or near their CO.
So, you also mentioned porting, and I think you said there was an exorbitant amount of porting. Do you know the percentage of porting in South Dakota compared to other states?
I don't know that fact.
Okay. And then there was one more question. I think, just give me a second here. Back on the point of interconnection, is it my understanding that Alta would be willing to make a lease facility to each CO of all these rural LECs?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So then the point of interconnection would have to be in Sioux Falls. Is that what you've offered?
No, what we're suggesting, and in fact, I'll clarify a little bit. We have direct connections with two of the carriers.
Okay.
We don't have with the other three. There's two that we have no interest in having a direct connection with over the term of this proposed agreement. So what we're really talking about here is with the two we already have connections with and the one that is feasible within the time frame of this agreement, we would be interested in having the right to establish a point of interconnection at any one of those places I discussed on that map.
Okay.
Not all of them, but any one of them.
Any one of them. So, would any one of those in the, are they all in the state, or would any of them be out of state? Or?
For the remainder of the petitioners, they would all be at the edge of their service area or where their network has been extended to.
So the responsibility to carry the traffic would be from the tower on the lease facility to their CO, and then you're talking about maybe inside their CO to their Quest POP.
We would be looking at to establish a point of interconnection so that we could deliver traffic for termination on their network only. And the terms that have already been agreed to in the agreement delineate the responsibility financially and technically for who gets the traffic to the point of interconnection. And so what we're asking here is where we would have the right to establish that point of interconnection. And the difference in the position, at least as I understand it, is the LECs want that point of interconnection to be limited only to their central office. And we're asking that point of interconnection be their central office or any place they establish a point of interconnection with any other carrier. Like Quest would be an example, or SDN would be an example.
That would make me nervous, too, I guess, if I was a manager. If I was West River, that means that you could essentially assign my POI to SDN, and then I'd have to transport that call from Bison to SDN on my dime?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not. No, we're only talking about traffic that is going to terminate on that carrier's network. So, for example, if we were to establish a point of interconnection with West River at Bison, we would only deliver traffic to that point that would be terminated on West River's network. There would be no other traffic that we would deliver.
But if you chose that POI and as SDN, they would have to get it to SDN, or where am I getting confused here?
Well, the LEC's responsibility to get traffic to us is not an issue in this case. It's really, for us it's an economic decision. Is it cheaper for us to send the traffic via Quest and let them transport it to deliver to these guys, or is it cheaper for us to lease a circuit to a point of interconnection and deliver it that way? I mean, that's really the trade-off we make. And all we're looking for is to have the ability to do that delivery where other carriers are already established and exchanging traffic.
Other carriers?
Correct.
So, okay. So like an interchange carrier, West River, for example, their equal access standard is SDN. So that's where their carrier's point of interconnect is, correct?
I don't know that West River has extended its network via its own facilities to SDN. We have some documentation that indicates that most of the meet points with SDN are at or near the service areas of the individual LECs. So let's say, I think the maps are all gone, but let's say there was a point on West River's network where they had a meet point with SDN.
Okay.
We'd like to be able to use that same meet point.
Oh, sure. So you're talking like a fiber route or something.
That would be a good example. Correct.
I got you.
Excuse me, Commissioner, did you say fiber?
Fiber hut.
Thank you.
I'll give you the detail. That's it. Thank you.
I just had a couple of questions. I believe Mr. Thompson stated that he had never heard of a wireless carrier requesting a net inter-MTA factor. Is that a new position of Alltel?
No, it's a position we've always taken in negotiations. The factors that are represented in agreements, and we have inter-MTA factors in many, half of our agreements anyway, are generally say, here's the factor, and here's the rate that applies to that factor. And the factor is negotiated. And it, in those negotiations, there was a discussion of, netting. And typically, because in most cases, there's more traffic going from a wireless carrier to a landline company than there is from a landline to a wireless, although that's changing. But in most cases, that's the case. So the net traffic inter-MTA factor is payable to the landline company.
And then did the petitioners request CDR records in this proceeding?
They did not. They made a request for, as I remember in discovery, for traffic that was separated into intra-MTA. They didn't make a request for CDRs. They made a request for traffic quantities that were separated into intra and inter-MTA. And our response to that request was, we don't keep records that separate traffic into inter and intra-MTA. It's not part of our, it's not what we do.
And then you stated, I believe you stated that Alltel is barred from filing access rates. Did you mean interstate access rates?
Let me say it this way. I mean, at least for interstate access rates.
Okay. That's all I had. Did you have any redirect?
The only a question I have is, there was this question on retail records versus wholesale records. The retail records that are captured by wireless companies, they're not in a database where you can readily do searches or collect information for billing purposes. Is that correct?
Not an area of expertise, but basically, the call detail records come off of our switches. They are put into a process that filters them and sends them into a database that is used to drive our customer billing system. Certain other records are separated out for specific trunk groups where we have a direct connection that handles all of the traffic between our network and another network, and those go into a carrier access billing system. And what's kept in those records and how they're filtered are two different, entirely different processes.
Okay. The there was this discussion on the poise, and just so it's clear, and I guess I'll just use Santel as an example. What Alltel is requesting, if Santel were to essentially extend a line out to interconnect with, say, a switch located in Mitchell, what Altel is requesting is the ability to deliver traffic to their point that they've extended out to Mitchell.
Yes, if a carrier, the way the Act reads, the Act doesn't read a carrier's service area, it reads a carrier's network. So if a carrier has extended his network for whatever reason, and let's say, and I don't know this to be the case, this is a hypothetical, but let's say Santel decided to build its network to meet its CLEC in Mitchell. Then there would be an interconnection between their CLEC affiliate, who's a different carrier, and Santel in Mitchell. If that were the case, and I don't know that it is, Altel would just like to have the right to connect at that same point that the CLEC connects. That would be an example of an extension beyond a service area, but where their network capacity exists.
And there might be some confusion on this, because at one time Altel was taking the position that that should become a two-way trunk. And now, to make it clear on the record, it's Altel's position they just like the right to establish that POI in that type of circumstance for the purposes of delivery.
That is correct. We are only seeking a decision that would allow us to pick a point and establish an interconnection for termination. The language that is undisputed, I believe, is that if the parties choose by mutual agreement to make that a two-way connection, they certainly can.
So it's not a position where you're going to, Altel is not seeking to mandate two-way traffic at those points.
We are not seeking to mandate how one of the petitioners would route traffic to our network. And by forcing them to use a two-way connection.
Right. If a petitioner's end user calls an Altel number, it's petitioner's obligation make sure that call gets delivered somehow to Altel. Correct?
Yeah, they have routing choices available.
Right, and that's been their obligation since essentially Western Wireless exists and cellular companies came on the scene, correct?
Correct.
That's all I have.
Briefly, thank you.
Mr. Williams, Ms. Wiest asked you about Altel's position in regard to the net inter-MDA factor. It's fair to say that the 2003 interconnection agreement that existed between Altel and these parties did not account for a net factor, correct?
Altel's opinion, it was a netted factor. It was a negotiated, it was a factor that represented a negotiation of the parties' position on inter-MTA traffic exchange.
The terms used, however, did not indicate anything about net, though, did they?
That's correct.
Okay. And so just for clarification, net has arisen in the context of this particular negotiation.
It's certainly been an explicit component of the discussion in my testimony.
And it's fair to say, then, that it was not treated as net prior to these particular negotiations.
I disagree with that.
Additionally, Ms. Wiest asked you about whether the petitioners sought CDR data. There's obviously been some discussion of some litigation that's preceded this particular proceeding, and it's fair to say that the LECs did make requests for CDRs in those proceedings, did they not?
I'm going to object as to relevancy. What occurred in the federal litigation doesn't have any bearing on what's going on here.
I believe it establishes a pattern of having made requests to attempt to address these issues that had not been met.
Oh, no.
Yes, in the federal litigation, and I'm not sure which, there was a request made for CDRs. The only one that I have a recollection of is a litigation with Golden West, and CDRs were provided in that litigation.
And just so we're clear, we're not talking about Golden West here today, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the prior litigation that I'm referring to is the one involving the petitioners involved in this particular proceeding.
Is there a question?
I'm just clarifying, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. And Altel did not provide CDRs when requested in that particular proceeding, correct?
I'm going to object as to asked and answered. He just testified the only one he remembered was the Golden West. That's that request being made.
Sustained.
With regard to the balance of traffic, is it your testimony that when you receive traffic from an IXC that's routed via an RBOC tandem, that it is not possible at all to determine the originating carrier?
No, it's my testimony that carrier access, every carrier access billing system I'm familiar with, cannot bill the originating carrier for that call.
Thank you.
Ms. Kramer?
I was just wondering, and I don't know if this is confidential or not, but how many switches does Altel have in South Dakota?
We have two.
Okay. Rapid instant calls?
Correct.
Okay. What's the CDR information that comes off your tower?
CDRs, it's my understanding, the CDRs are created at the switch themselves.
Okay. Well, you'd have to, your tower would have to be sending digits, correct? 10 digits?
Well, yeah, I mean, the handset initiates, and that information is transmitted through the tower, through other electronic equipment, and ultimately registers on the switch.
Okay. But I was just wondering, does the tower transmit that, the calling and the caller and the 10 digits, and is that all part of a record that's sent to your IXC?
The call record, if we were to take a call that originated on a tower somewhere and processed through our switch, my understanding is that the information, the calling number, the called number, the originating switch identifier, and several other pieces of information would be handed to the, along with like a location routing number for an LMP routed call or an 800 routed call. All of that would be handed over to the next carrier downstream to terminate, so that they could look at that and then make action to terminate the call.
And you mentioned LMP. I just if you're going to have local number portability, your switch is going to have to know if that number is ported, correct?
That's correct.
So they're going to have a calling number.
When a number is ported, what happens is that obviously, you know, the telephone number stays the same, but the owner or the network that controls that number changes. And so in order to know how to deliver a call to a number that's been ported, there's a process you go through in a nationwide database to look up and see, well, who really owns that, what network really owns that number today? Okay. And then back from this database comes something called a location routing number, which is different than the telephone number. And then that routing number is what's used to switches to figure out how to send the call.
All right, thanks.
Any further redirect?
The only follow-up I'd have is, because I'm not sure you go, I'm sorry, I'm sure it'll be around the same. If Western Wireless customer ports over to Verizon, or Western Wireless, Altel, I'm sorry, that call doesn't go through the Altel switch when they make a call.
Right. If we lost a customer, ported a number to Verizon, if a carrier that originates a call to that number performs the proper LMP dip, then that call will route directly to Verizon's network and shouldn't ever hit our network again.
Right. That's if they're receiving a call, but if they're making a call, it goes right to the Verizon network.
That's right. If they're making a call, it'll be made on the Verizon network and be outbound from their network.
All right. That's all.
Any other questions?
Nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other witnesses, Mr. Mazzari?
I have none.
Okay. Any other, how did the parties want to proceed? Any closing statements?
I wouldn't intend to offer one. I would simply intend to...
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't intend to offer one. I'd simply intend to submit it through briefs. However, Mr. Weisberg wanted to offer one, then I would prefer not to waive my right.
Did anyone want to have any closing arguments? Mr. Weisberg?
I know y'all would like to hear one, but I'll waive it.
Okay. And then do we need to go off the record and discuss a briefing schedule, or did you have a question?
I was going to mention, certainly, there could be oral arguments with the final briefs as well.
Yeah, sure. So, briefing schedule? Did you want to discuss one, or did you want to agree to one, or how did you want to handle it?
I guess when I'm asked that question by a judge, I turn to the court reporter and say, what do you think your turnaround time is?
Let's just go off the record.
All right.